Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, Happy New Year, everyone. I think our Look fine faces are coming up in a second. It's a brand new year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to everybody. Happy 2021.
We're brought to you by
Colorado Citizen Press, also America's Citizen Press.
Gone national now.
Great conservative site, one to check out every day. And really appreciate them. They're carrying our podcast too, so we're going national on that front. And Dr. Julie McCallum.
Synergenics. New year, new time to get everything together and live a happy and prosperous 2021.
Yeah, I hope everybody had a great New Year's Eve. We couldn't go anywhere, so we stayed home. We watched Ben Affleck, who I liked in Tom Clancy's Some of All Our Fears. That was good. Then we toasted at 10 o'clock. And then went to bed. At least I did. Chuck stayed up and watched a little bit more. And then I preferred
got to watch Joe Biden. He was fantastic.
Yeah, and I performed my first act of resistance in 2021 by taking down the Christmas lights outside. I didn't realize we were supposed. The Denver Post told us we need to leave them up to show our support for the healthcare workers who have locked us down and destroyed our businesses. And I said, no, they're coming down. I was going to put it off, but if ever you needed a reason to take down your lights, do so as an act of defiance against the Denver Post and the healthcare workers who have locked us down.
And one sad note, Hugh McNulty, a.k.a. Father Hugh, passed away last week. Later in the show, probably at the bottom of the hour, we're going to do a requiem for
a
one
tribute.
Of the, well, that's what a requiem is, really.
Right.
for a great guy, just a wonderful person, and who became famous as a radio.
More famous people. We go to events. People would say, "Is Father Hugh here?"
Yeah.
We're like, "Hey, it's Chuck and Julie." They're like, "Yeah, yeah, it's Father Hugh here." So we want to encourage everybody. We've got some folks calling in, but I want to encourage everybody. If you're on Zoom, just unmute yourself when we get there. If you want to call in, the number is 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Just a quick note before we get to a little bit of politics. I've had a lot of people contacting me asking if we knew anything about services, things like that. It's my understanding that there's some relatives of his back east who are making all of those arrangements. Once we find out what they are, we'll be sure to let everybody know. And rest assured, we will be doing something, all of us, his radio family, the folks at 710 KNUS, Mark Griffith with KLZ. We're planning some kind of shindig that you know he would just
but
love.
It'll be officially a protest.
Yes, that's right. It'll be officially a protest. and we will, again, let you know where all of that is going to be. In the meantime, though.
Well, this has been an interesting year for, where our show is called Truth Straight Up. I don't think there's ever been a year in which truth has been more under assault than this year. The election fraud is obvious, but the left, as it always does, just says baseless, unsubstantiated, all the other stuff. Our courts are pathetic. They seem to not to want to bother. And so I think, this last year, our faith in our democracy certainly has been shaken. And I guess I don't believe we have a democracy. I think we have a cheat system. I mean, they do voting. They did voting in the old Soviet Union. But it's not a democracy when one side just lies and cheats, and then the media hides it. And it's revolting. Honestly, it's revolting.
I think, though, this is one of the things, and we'll talk about this a little bit more next week, but it is important, to, as I say, to resist and to make it as difficult for them every step of the way. One of the things I'm glad to see, and heck with all of those stupid Republicans and the corporate media and the liberals who's like, oh, I can't believe the Republicans are over. It's a coup attempt by challenging the Electoral College vote. Of course, leaving out the fact that they did it in 2004 and in 2016 when it was courageous. I'm glad to see some 140, I mean, not just two or three, roughly 140 members of Congress are standing up and saying, you know, we're not going to vote for what was clearly a crooked, fraudulent election. We need to have an investigation. We need to get to the bottom. And I
would
say—
Well, that's no problem. We can get the Justice Department and our FBI, your FBI, looking very hard at it.
And so, all those investigative reporters out there at ABC News, this kills me. I was just retweeting them, Chuck. ABC News has a call, has a tweet out with a story that say how to tell real news from fake news. I'm like, if you're watching ABC News, you're watching fake news. I mean, it's pretty darn easy. If it's corporate media, it's fake. I mean, we've seen that. We don't even need to go into that. But I think, though,
what was interesting about the FBI, you might remember that the FBI sent 15 agents down to Alabama when Bubba Wallace thought, which was a simple knot,
the garage door opener,
and he decided it was
a noose,
and so they sent 15 agents down. Now, for all the fraud and all across, no, they can't be bothered. They're like that teachers union leader from Chicago,
right?
Who was demanding that teachers be able to stay home.
Because it's too dangerous. COVID's too dangerous.
And she was tweeting or broadcasting from Puerto Rico. And she's on the beach. You love it. And I just saw an ad to say, we want to thank all the teachers this year for all they've done.
Yeah, leave your
Paid
Christmas
for by the teachers. Yeah,
leave your Christmas lights. I mean, there are some great teachers. Our son's Mr. Mail from the Academy of Charter Schools being
teachers,
one of them.
But the unions stink, and there are a lot of lousy, rotten ones, too.
That are, yeah. I think one of the things that gives me hope for 2021 is that so much has been, I mean, the emperor has been totally been exposed, I think. Even
who's the emperor?
Well, I think the elite. I guess I would say the elites and the people who try to tell us they know what's better for us. I mean, you know, you saw once again Bill de Blasio getting blasted. He's, you know, he closes down Times Square, but then he dances at Times Square. Over and over and over, their own arrogance and their own contempt for essentially your basic middle class working American is so evident now. That I think you can't unsee what we've seen. And I hope this is my big thing I'm going to be pushing in 2021. And that is we all need to take responsibility. And when we vote, it needs to be intentional. We need to realize.
Intentional. I think
it's not. I mean, I would submit that, frankly, it's not, particularly on the Democrat side. They just vote for whoever the person paying them to fill it out tells them to vote for. But what I mean, though, is I think people. A lot of people don't vote. A lot of people don't pay attention.
Well, why should
they
vote when it's rigged?
Well,
here in Colorado, it's rigged. And we've got to get that person who is he suggested? Tom Tancredo. You wrote down the individual he said we've got to get him on the show. Because Colorado is a cheat by mail system.
But you didn't let me. My point, though, is not just in voting, but in other things. It's time to pay attention. So many of us have been, and I think probably not, frankly, some of the people who listen to this show, but I think a lot of people in the United States, the so-called sort of middle ground people, are just living their lives. And I get that. They're working.
No, they're not.
Well, let me just finish. They're working, you know, they're not particularly politically involved. And I think what we've seen in 2020 and leading up to that is what happens when you're not paying attention. I think we have to pay attention. We have to, as I was saying, resist in big ways and in little ways. And, you know, you saw Jared Polis.
Dictator Polis.
God bless you. Said that next week he's going to loosen some of the restrictions on restaurants.
So kind
at the same time, his freaking health department is going ahead and removing licenses and removing alcohol, which they have no authority to do. So it's like, so next week they're removing the alcohol today, even though next week, and not even next week, Monday, it would be okay. Businesses, I mean, I don't know why the Restaurant Association is like even remotely for Jared Polis. As businesses, we have to support the businesses stand up. I mean, we can talk about that all next week, but I think next week, well, and going forward into 2021, next week it's going to be interesting to see because I think one thing that Trump can do, however the whole thing ends up, is continue to call out the lies, the fraud, and the exposure. And from what I understand, at least Jenna Ellis is saying they will have an opportunity. I don't know if they'll be presenting it or if other people will be presenting it.
It'll be suppressed. I mean, you're going to have to watch the proceeding if you can,
right,
for the 2 hours. I'm not sure if that's done by, it's probably you're behind closed doors.
Well, we'll have Google and YouTube will like censor. Yeah. They won't show C-SPAN, you know, or any of those.
Right. I mean, it's almost comical. And you know, you're going to have a vote. And, you know, I think the fact that you can get a 2/3 or 3/4 of the Republican House not to certify, I think is an enormous plus. Tells you something about the modern Republican Party in the Senate that only one person is committed to doing it so far, Josh Hawley. And I think Ben Sasse is saying he's just trying to curry favor with the grassroots and go, yeah, that's right. He
yeah,
is.
He is, and it's not working.
Well, it is working because I think Josh Hawley is great.
Oh, Josh, I thought you meant Ben Sasse was.
Well, Ben Sasse is, you know, I mean, he's better.
Well, and here's the thing, too. I think, however this turns out, the 2021 is going to be the year of the Trump. Whether Trump stays in office, he's going to do that. If he doesn't stay in office, this is one of my predictions. And I'm stealing this from Kurt Schlichter, a columnist. I think I read this in Town Hall, but I absolutely agree with it. And that is that one of the things that's going to happen is if Trump does not get sworn into office on January 20th, Twitter will immediately cancel him. Mm-hmm. But what will happen then is Trump will immediately, I believe, pivot and go to one of the other many platforms that are now out there. That's something else that is beneficial. I mean, when the problems are revealed, that's when you can begin to come up with solutions. It's when you're not aware of the problems or you're not seeing them. The problems are just shoved in our face and we're smashed into the ground. I mean, like I said, you can't unsee it. I think if Trump leaves Twitter and goes to Parler, a couple of things happen or another one. There'll be, as Kurt Schlichter said, a tsunami of people following him. Right. Now, if they do that, if you're the mainstream media, well, you have to follow over there too. So it will automatically. And I think, you know, Trump is now, today he was tweeting Fox daytime news is unwatchable, switch over to OANN. That kind of thing. I predict that there will be a huge shift and the corporate media will begin to lose their stranglehold on the flow of information. They've already lost. Nobody believes. I mean, they're ranked lower than Congress, right? So nobody believes them anymore. Hardly anyone is watching them. And politics aside,
well,
I think
half the country, the Democrats watch it and believe it.
The Democrats, I'm going to push back a little bit. I think the numbers would show more people are watching, you know, Game of Thrones or something like that on live stream
Anyway, they'll continue to use those as their news sources because, I mean, talk to any Democrat. You know, they do not live in the same world that you do.
They don't hear it.
They don't hear anything. I mean,
Hunter Biden?
Hunter Biden? He's,
who knew? You know,
who had the kid by the stripper? What's wrong with him?
The whole Russia collusion thing, that's
not
true.
No, that was just, you know.
Russia didn't hack Hillary. Oh, I know.
And so, you know, we'll continue to live in two separate worlds. It used to be, however, that Democrats would occupy part of our world and you had to listen what the Denver Post had to say.
Right.
And you had to listen to what Channel 9 News had to say.
Not anymore.
But it's always interesting. I mean, you know, the Colorado Politics and Denver Gazette did a little interview and they said, we think an alternative voice needs to be out there. Alternative to what?
Yeah,
you're exactly
to you
the
guys,
same.
Yeah.
You're exactly the same.
It'd be like us calling this the Julie and Chuck show and saying that's an alternative voice to the Chuck and Julie show. Oh, no.
I mean, they're just, you know, the Colorado Politics media partners, 9 News and Kyle Clark. So, you know, you're going to get the same stories and the same garbage. And you're going to get both ways, Bob, and whatever pathetic, you know,
Republicans
are. Mark Hillman. Who's the other guy? I always forget.
The list is long. Kevin Piola. Josh Penry.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes
Andy
on and
George.
On. But here's again, looking forward to 2021. I think that let me back up. I think what else is going to happen that will be, in a way, good for us, although it's going to be painful, is that the lockdowns, Polis is going to lose them a little bit, but across the country, the lockdowns in the Democrat-controlled areas are going to stay locked down until people revolt. And I think that people are slowly starting to revolt. There are pockets of revolution coming, but I think that that is going to grow. And I think that people then, and that's the most beautiful thing, people realize at that point, hey, wait, we do have some power and we can make a difference. And, so I think that things were so awful. And I think we're going to be in for a certain amount of pain for a while, but people's eyes are open now. People, and that's just my thing. We have to pay attention. We have to be intentional. And we have to do everything we can every step of the way to resist, basically. We got a phone call coming in. Our first phone call of 2021. Rocco on line two. Hey, thank you for calling.
I'm honored to be your first phone caller, Chuck and Julie. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
Yeah, I followed you for a while, moved with you over to YouTube and Twitter, et cetera. I agree with you about the about what's happening with the shift in the, as far as news goes and news consumption. People don't believe the mainstream press anymore. I would like to add to that. What's happening with the financial, the incredible financial irresponsibility of the federal government. It is out of control. And I've become a bit of a collapsitarian, basically someone who believes that we are headed for, I'll even use the word necessary collapse. And it probably will be a financial collapse. And it's going to be caused by this irresponsible spending and money printing we're seeing in the federal government. And then, and only then, will we get the necessary corrections that we need in culture and in government, because then they will no longer have the kind of power that they have.
Yeah. Well, when I was over at CanUS, I did a show, a financial show with the Alpha One financial planning guys, and I was unaware of this, but they would talk about the the deficit, and they're like, everyone's ignoring that at their own peril, because I said sooner or later it's going to come. And I remember Wally Darling, who was the main host there, would say, there was a time in our country within human memory where the tax rate was like massive, like 80% or something.
93.
Okay. And they're like, people think, oh, that could never happen. And he's like, it did happen, and there's absolutely nothing to prevent it from happening again.
Of course, the capital gains rate, which where all the rich people got their money, was very low. So they could always avoid it. But if you're a working class person who made any money or had a good year, you got told. That's what Ronald Reagan stopped doing pictures. He said, I'll just do one or two a year because, if I was only going to get 7 cents of the rest of it, he hadn't learned how to translate it into capital gains yet, to take a portion of it and sell it. But it's you're absolutely right, Rocco. It's inevitable. We're right now we're kind of the speedy rabbit river over the cliff. We don't really quite realize that the precipice has passed us and we're about to crash.
Yeah, good point.
One day we'll notice it, and it will not be slow. It will not be gradual. It'll be highly dramatic
and painful, probably.
Well, yes.
Oh, so we have more fun stuff to look forward to then, Rocco, huh?
Well, we have, before in 2000, if you remember the dot-com bubble burst, the federal government, at least the Federal Reserve, had the ability to cut interest rates. The interest rates were around 6% then. So they could cut the interest rates down to, I think they cut them down to about 1%. I'm going off memory. And that was unheard of at the time. It's like, wow, 1% interest rates. Now, how's the government going to cut the interest rate? That there is nowhere to go. They're essentially, your savers are punished. Instead what we have is this huge speculative bubble in the stock market. And by the way, I'm invested in the stock market, not entirely, but I'm sure you are too. I mean, it's unavoidable. Right. Where else are you going to put your money? But a lot of people are going to be hurt by this. People who've been responsible. I consider myself and my family to be in that category, and certainly people who have looked to government to help them and have made that a way of life are going to be harmed. So I don't know. I mean, these aren't cheery thoughts for 2021. But I appreciate you guys plugging away and doing what you do, and I'll continue to follow you. So thank you.
We appreciate it, Rocco.
And if we start turning to drink during the show, Rocco, we'll let you know that too. Okay, yeah. if we just keep.
Okay. Happy New Year. Bye bye.
Happy New Year to you too. Well, let's go to Charlene on line one. She's one of our favorites. Hi, Charlene.
Hey, Charlene. Happy New Year to you.
Are we going to start off the year happy with something to look forward to? Is that what we're doing today?
Yes, well,
you know, Charlene, you're a perfect transition because I would like you to then maybe you can start off with something for us to look forward to. And then I'd like you, if it's okay, to get your thoughts, because I know you knew him well, on Father Hugh, if that's okay.
Oh, yes. Well, let me start out with that because
okay.
I am certainly looking forward to a celebration of Father Hugh's life.
Protest, Charlene.
Giant among what?
We got to call it a protest so Polis doesn't lock us down.
Oh, that's not okay. A peaceful protest for Father Hugh's great life, because there's a couple of things I loved about him. I would tune into shows just to hear his voice and hear his perspective from 40,000 feet.
Yes.
Right. And, you know, he is really up there at 40,000 feet now looking down.
Yeah, right.
You know, Charlene,
perspective.
I thought that exact same thing. For folks, Father Hugh was more famous really than any talk show host in Denver anymore, I would say. He'd call in all of the shows. He was great comments, but one of the things he would always say was, well, first I'm going to start, you know, from 40,000 feet, the overall view when you're in. And I
then
thought exactly.
A few bouquets, and then he'd get a compliment,
right.
And then he'd trash it.
Bouquets.
But it was always fun.
I love the tapestry he would weave, the tapestry of words. He would weave together, and he just painted the perfect picture of what was going on. I mean, it was just an art form. I mean, his soliloquies were an art form. I just have never heard anything, you know.
I'll give a little background.
There's a few people, of course.
Yeah, a little background on Father Hugh. For not everybody knows his background, but he grew up.
Right. Well, I hope we can have, maybe someday soon you can air some of his calls that were just humorous.
Well, I'll help
with this though, because Matt Dunn, I think Matt Dunn is the one who initially called him Father Hugh. Matt Dunn over at Backbone Radio at 710 KNUS. I believe Matt is
was
doing
it?
Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know where he got the phrase, but
yeah, because he wasn't a priest.
Or maybe it could have been. Was it Chuck? Was it the lawyer guy? I can't remember, but I remember hearing him call Father Hugh, and that just stuck with him because it was whoever monikered that. It was just the perfect name for him. But you know, another thing about Father Hugh that people may not know is that he could dress up. I mean, remember that Adams County. Lincoln Day.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my. He was just such a handsome man. And
very dapper.
He just dapper. Brought so much humor to any situation and just intellect. And it was just a joy to know him. And another event, there was an event where a pro Trump event where Hugh Hewitt and Mike Gallagher and John Voight was there, you know, and it was over at one of the hotels, really fancy hotel, and a nice reception. And he, you know, he met with all of them and everyone. It was just, he made things fun, you know, he just brought so much. And it was just an honor to know him. And, you know, I'm looking forward to, share, you know, I have some photos of him at rallies and holding flags. And so I just look forward to all
pass
that.
Them on to us. And we'll put them up on the show. So people can see it. We'll put the pictures up on the screen.
But, and Charlie, no, we have some pictures too. And I was thinking that, you know, and again, for folks, as I understand it, his relatives are making some arrangements, and one way, shape or form, there will be a massive peaceful
protest
for him, in which everyone will
He would love that. He would love that. So I'll let other people call in, but thank you so much for paying tribute to him today.
Charlene, thank you too. Speaking of the humor, let me just say one of the things, because he and Chuck loved talking to him.
I loved it.
Because, you know, stuff that I knew nothing about. And I mean, he could throw out some obscure to anyone else, Latin, Greek guy. And Chuck would be like, I remember reading him. Mm-hmm. And you would say, well, I read him in Latin. And Chuck would say, I did too. But one of the things
And I used to tell Father Hugh, I said, you are Chuck's equal. And oh, that made his day. He was just like, and I said, oh, yes. And he's, oh, well, I don't know about that. You know, but I mean, really, he could go toe to toe with Chuck. He could go toe to toe with the best of them.
Oh, he sure could.
Well, the only, you know, Father Hugh.
Well, let's let Charlene go because they've got.
Okay,
oh, okay.
Well, you can go.
We just got full lines are coming in.
Yeah, I understand.
All right, thank you, Charlene.
Okay, well,
sure. We'll stay in touch.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
But Father Hugh and I grew up in the same world, and it's kind of like Gone with the Wind world. He grew up sort of shanty Irish in Boston, but the Irish always wanted to emulate the Brahmins, or at least some of them did. And Father Hugh very much admired the Brahmin culture, and in New York it's called the Bas culture. No longer exists. It's gone. It's dead. Long, long gone. But he went to Boston Latin, which was a prep school in Boston. It was a public one run by the city, but it was a prep school. And it started in 1635. And its motto
from his description, some of the teachers were still there.
Yeah, yeah. But summus primi, we are first. That was the school motto. And it was a rigorous education, and he got a very much of a classical one. And he was the first one in the school's entire history one year to get all A's.
Wow.
So, you know, after 200 plus years, he was the only, and it was in the Boston Globe and everything else. So you're really talking about a brilliant guy. And there's a few people I could talk to about, you know, because we grew up in the same sort of classic education, you know, Middle English poetry. I don't get to talk to people about Middle English poetry too often.
Oh, he does to me sometimes. Yeah. But then I turn on the Terminator.
And Father Hugh could even read Old English, because he had some background in German. And Old English is some weird combo of, it sounds like Danish German or something. But he could actually, you know, Beowulf was written in Old English.
Okay.
And when you're in school, you did not read the Old English because it was unfathomable to you. I could read Middle English with a little work, but like Canterbury Tales is written in Middle English. But Beowulf, I could not read in its original form because it just seemed like Greek, but it was really, you know, early form of German / English. But he was a brilliant guy. Then he went to Harvard Law School, and then he joined then he was in the army for a couple of years, which he enjoyed. and then he went to a big law firm in New York. I think it was Sherman Sterling, but I'm not sure. They're all sort of the same. These massive ones, which really are pyramid schemes.
For lawyers,
yeah, yeah. Set up that way. You know, you'd have, let's say, 100 people in your class in a big law firm, now much bigger than that. They'd pay you very little. And a third of the people would make it up to partner. Two thirds would wash out, either drop out, or for the other people who didn't make it, who were, you know, very good lawyers, they'd get them jobs as legal counsel in big corporations. And Hugh became legal counsel for a big oil and a gas firm, did very well, and married Annika, who we always talk about, who was from the Netherlands. It was very much his equal. And then it all went to hell somewhere in there, got a divorce.
All right, we move on to the positive.
No, Julie, you're not gonna.
Well,
don't stop talking.
Okay. Oh, that was the one thing you would do is let Chuck finish.
Yes,
that was the let Chuck finish.
I gotta
fortunately,
get that.
We don't have that anymore.
We gotta get that back. And he and an African American man started a small law firm here. But then he kind of in his last years devoted himself to talk radio, and he was so much fun, and he'd get huffy sometimes. Sometimes he'd get mad at you and huffy and wouldn't call, and then he'd kind of go.
Not like talk show hosts ever get huffy.
Yeah. No, they don't. I never get huffy. And so he's an extraordinary human being, and it's only a few people. There were various restaurants in WASP, New York, and various country clubs you'd go to, and various.
And he knew all of your hangouts.
He knew all my hangouts and my dad's hangouts and everything else. So it's just like talking to somebody.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, that's what he sometimes calls brothers from different mothers. And I kind of felt like that with
yeah.
You. I mean, I thought he was just wonderful. And she would always be cutting us off.
Well, because
esoteric thing.
We've spent 2 hours. No, he was, well, we got more calls coming in. So we'll let them.
Calls.
Because I asked Karen Cataline to call in too. Because, hey, Karen, first off, thank you. Happy New Year. Thank you for calling.
Happy New Year to both of you.
Yes.
And let justice be done in 2021.
I like it. I saw your tweet there earlier. You know, let me ask you about Father Hugh, because one of the things I think that is, And this is what the left cannot take away from us. One of the things that's magical about talk radio is that it becomes very much a community. And people call in this show or that show, but it is a community. And there are certain people who become characters in that community. Hugh was very much one. You are one. You've gone on to now you have your own career in your talk show host on nationally. I think you did a show just a few hours ago here today. And so I wanted to get your thoughts on Father Hugh, but then also just your thoughts, just maybe, I like I said, you know, you look at the impact Rush Limbaugh has had on people. I mean, I just think there really is something magical and special about talk radio. Or, well, talk podcast.
I think you zeroed in on it beautifully. And I think that people who have loved talk radio for years and years, as I have, no matter what I was doing, I always found talk radio people that I loved and listened in all the cities I've been in. There's something we have in common, and I really think talk radio sort of fed a very specific need in Hugh. You know, I mean, he was semi-retired, and he was he would take cases from time to time, but I think the turning point came for him and maybe me when, for no darn good reason, I had this idea that I thought regular callers ought to meet you both at the Western Conservative Summit. And Hugh was the only one who showed up. And so it was him and me. And
that's right.
From that moment, for a while, we were sort of associated to one another. But then we sort of went our separate ways professionally. But Hugh was really one of a kind, unique, and it is so sad to know that he's gone, because nobody really can fill his shoes. No. And no. I'm heartened by the fact that so many people, know him, remember him with so much love and affection. I mean, that speaks highly of what you're talking about.
Well, you know, let me interject there, because what happened was, is, you know, Barney let me know. And so I thought, well, we'll put it out on Facebook. And I mean, and I think, and Matt Dunn tweeted it, and Matt Dunn, who's a 710 KNUS radio host, he said he'd been retweeted 5,000 times. I mean, that's like enormous. And the comments on Facebook and the shares, I mean, we're talking in the hundreds. So, you know, I hope, and I'm sure he does, he was up there, and actually he's probably wanting to rebut every single one of them. He's, well, I wouldn't be surprised if we get a phone call. It's like, Father Hugh, not sure how he's calling in. But I think
go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I mean, I think the enormous response was not just because he'd become a celebrity to a certain extent in his own right, but just because of the kind of Renaissance man that he was.
Exactly. Couple of quick things. I think Matt Dunn is the first person who called him Father Hugh, and then it just caught on.
Yeah, perfect.
And what I always thought of whenever I heard him call was Charles Emerson Winchester III. He had this certain voice quality mixed with Irish, you know, storytelling.
Irish Boston, where, you know,
he could tell a story about anything. Mm-hmm. And the time when I enjoyed Father Hugh on the radio the most was when he was dishing with Chuck.
Yeah.
I absolutely appreciate that. Chuck had him on as a guest host. And he was.
Guest host, but I was instructed by 710 KNS not to call him a co-host. So I had to call him. Why is that?
Do you remember, Karen? I one time too. I think you guys filled in for us. It was Hugh.
I think they filled in for Matt Dunn.
Okay. And Charlene was there, and Jan Cook, right? And as I remember,
and you guys had kind of a brawl.
He had a brawl because there were only three microphones.
It was a panel with about five of us.
Okay. Yes.
And it was quite the brawl. I mean, in a good way, because we were all so very different, you know.
Yes.
And one other little quick story. When I started to get to know Hugh, of course, through KNUS and talk radio, he started talking to me about a fuel hauler named Barney.
Yeah.
Fuel hauler. I said, well, my boyfriend at the time, who is now my husband, was a fuel hauler, and fuel haulers are very rare, and they all know each other. Sure enough, the great coincidence was that my husband has known Barney for years.
Wow.
And yet Barney is a talk radio geek. My husband is not.
Mm.
And then we found out that Barney would have Hugh over for Christmas dinner and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I was absolutely touched that Barney took Hugh's cat. And it's just like a very small world, isn't it?
It's, you know, and that's, again, what I love about it. It feels like a very small world, and yet it's a huge world, right? And that's the beauty of it. Yeah. That's the beauty of it that I don't think you get anywhere else. And so, Karen, I always like to do this because if they're not listening to Karen Cataline, you should be. tell us where we can find you. And you're on BBS Radio on Fridays.
Some people don't like self-promotion, but I do it when I have guests on, and you've
got to. How will people know?
Right. What do people? Otherwise, they're texting me saying, "How do I find Karen?" So,
I just go to KarenCataline.com if you know how to spell my name. Yes, my name is a punchline. My last name is KataLine.com. Everything I'm doing is updated there regularly.
All right. And thank you so much for your time. You. Happy New Year to
Happy
you.
New Year,
say
guys.
Hey to your husband.
Happy New Year to you both. Take
okay,
care.
Thank you. Right. Let's go now
Let's go to Mark, and I think we got Barney on the line,
and then
too.
We got Sherry, too. So
no, we got lots of folks. I know. So Mark?
Hey, Mark. This is Mark Griffith of KLZ fame, too, correct?
Well, I'm not on the air anymore. I was had trouble keeping sponsors during the lockdown. But
so that means you're going to have more time to call us then. So we're glad. So
That's right. I've enjoyed your show. I just wanted to call in and say my short friendship with Hugh was very enriching. I had listened to Hugh call. He and I had the very similar taste in excellent talk radio. So we listened to the Chuck and Julie show, and he listened to Matt Dunn, and there were some other shows. And I always liked calling in either before or after him, and also Barney. But after I got my show and Father Hugh started listening to me, I got in touch with him personally. And we had him over to the house a few times. He came for Thanksgiving. And he's the best storyteller in the world, except for me, probably. But he does make them go on longer than I did. I can. But he was very funny. And it was a very great sadness that I heard he had passed.
Yeah.
In fact, I called him Christmas Eve morning to see if he wanted to come over. We had talked about him coming over for Christmas Eve because my kids were all out of town, and he didn't call me back, and I had a bad feeling. And So
and Ben had anyway. Ben had just said, when did he pass? And it was this week, Ben. It was sadly
last week.
And anyway, but Mark, thank you for that. And I know, you know, we've had talks, and Mark, you and I have had talks, and some of his Hugh's Coast friends in the talk radio world. I mean, we will let everybody know
when the protest is going to
when the peaceful protest to celebrate
right.
is going to be. Okay.
Well, I have some intel on family and stuff. So if you want to call me tomorrow or Sunday, that would be good. We can catch
Perfect.
Up.
Perfect. All right, Mark. Thank you so much. Thank you. We look forward
to Happy New Year, guys.
To you too. To you too. And now we have the aforementioned Barney calling in. Hey Barney, thank you for calling in. Happy New Year to you and your family.
Happy New Year. And by the way, let Mark know that what did you say, how many downloads did you have on your 100? Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of people. So
we're listening, we're getting, and thank you guys at BBS and everybody. No, we're pulling roughly 120,000 downloads, and that's just on the BBS side of things, and that's not even all of them a month. So thank you to everybody.
That's awesome.
You know, and actually, let me say something nice. We hit our 500 subscriber on YouTube, so thank you to everybody who does that too.
Nice.
But anyway, talking about the Father Hugh peaceful protest.
Yeah, and Mark, I think Mark's wife is how Hugh's
yes.
cousins got a hold of me. So that's awesome, too. It's funny how you start throwing stuff out there, and then sooner or later, when you think you're not going to find anybody, you do. And by the way, so what's awesome about Chuck, listen, the reason we love you guys is because you're real. And that's all there is to it. And Karen is right that talk radio was a big part. But what's funny about Hugh, and I loved it when you and Hugh would argue, it was awesome because you have two litigators here that know what they're talking about. So it wasn't just somebody running their mouth. It was pretty awesome. And I loved it. And, you know, Hugh would get mad and then he'd wait a week or two and then he'd call back. And it's funny how Hugh, by the way, Hugh, Father Hugh came from Michael Brown. With all due respect, we love Matt Dunn, but Michael Brown was when I think Michael Brown started calling him Father Hugh. Wow. So just to keep the credit right, I think
okay, okay.
Michael Brown, pretty darn sure. So yeah, okay. I don't have a life. I've listened to talk radio forever. So anyway, Karen is right too. This is, you know, you guys are a part of my life. I drive down the road and I've got you, and it just comes like you and you guys treat your callers good. If you treat me good, God, you treat everybody good. If you can put up with my crap, then you know you're doing good. But it's cool to hear, and everybody felt the same way about Father. What I call him, I can call him Hugh Boy. He said that's what his dad used to call him. Because we love the way he told stories. I mean, just right. the way his, and I just go back to Angela's ashes. I think he could have wrote a book like Frank McCourt did, and it would have been yeah. just as good. He just, yeah. And yeah. the history, and that's what's good about you, Chuck. You're obviously, we know you're a smart guy. And it's funny about a guy like you. Look, and I love Julie from way back, and I also love Karen McKinley, so I don't know what's wrong with me. You know why I like the news women that are women? It's because they tend to have more spine than the man. That's really probably why, Julie.
I know Carol McKinley. She's great. Uh-huh.
Yeah. See, and you guys were tough. You didn't back down, but you didn't get belligerent. But when I listened to Chuck, I don't know if Chuck would agree with me on everything, but pretty much everything Chuck says, I agree with. And that doesn't make me a suck up. It just means that got two guys that think the same way coming from completely different backgrounds, and talk radio sews everything together. And I don't know, it is sad. And I guess if we know kind of now when he died, cause I talked to you on the 19th or the 18th. So somewhere in between there. And, but the cousin, it's good that the family, by the way, his cat's name was Figaro. We used to call him Mr. Fig. One of the cousins wrote a poem about that, and it's published in one of her books.
So oh, wow.
A book from her. But yeah, that's awesome. So they knew how much he loved his cat. And it was nice hearing Charlene talk about you. Everybody kind of felt the same way. You know, we might not be the best people to live with, but, you know, there's something about everybody that everybody likes. So anyway, I'm glad you guys are there. And I'm glad you guys were there for him, because I know he got a lot of enjoyment talking to you guys.
And
Bonnie,
thank you.
And you've been. You don't want any credit, but you've been a great friend to Hugh, and we all appreciate that.
Well, and it goes back to what I said.
Well, we're Irish.
There you go.
There you go.
Hey, Bonnie, thank you for calling. We'll be
okay,
in touch.
I love you guys. Take care.
All right, love you
love
guys
you too.
All
right,
now let's go. And Sherry, thank you for. I think Ben is asking how old was Hugh. I think he was 80.
Yeah.
And now we've got Sherry's been patiently waiting. Sherry, hey, I'm here with Chuck and Julie. Thank you for hanging on.
Hi, I just wanted to, with the new year, thank you guys for finding a new format. I'm so glad that you did, and I appreciate it so much. I have appreciated and still appreciate your terrific guests. I love the truth straight up, because you're going to have a great year coming, because we need people that do talk radio, that do journalism, that do news with the truth. You got a great future coming. So, and your guests are terrific. They're so knowledgeable, and I really, really appreciate it. And I want to thank you for that.
Well Sherry, thank you. We appreciate you. And you know, with people like you, that this is why 2021 is going to be a good year. I think better than people think. So thank you so much for listening, and we appreciate your phone call.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye, Sherry.
Take care, Sherry.
You know, and I'll talk, and we, to let people know, I believe, just so people know, that I think Matt Dunn, who you've heard us talking about at 710 KNUS, is going to be, he has some of the actual phone calls and things like that from Father Hugh, and I think he's going to be doing something on his show. I think Peter Boyles is going to probably talk about it. Peter's been off a couple of days on Monday. And again, one of the reasons I want to do this, number one, just to honor him, because he was, I think, Jan Cook, who's another caller, and become much more than just a caller. I mean, she fills in, she's filled in for us. I mean, she's just great. She keeps an eye on the state of Colorado for the rest of us. Called him a Renaissance man. And I think that's something, there's something very true about that.
Yes, because he, you know, Renaissance.
Well, like you. I mean, you are.
Well, because that's the education we got. That is not because we are that way.
Well,
it's because
you guys are both pretty darn bright.
Well, great.
And you're wonderful.
No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But you know, we grew up in a world where classic education counted. And it's also strange that, you know, we were born for empire or schooled for empire. And you think, well, what does that mean? But, you know, the prep schools were set up really in England and then emulated in the United States. And what did they try to produce? I mean, they actually had what they tried to produce. And what they wanted people to be is well-rounded. I mean, you know, it didn't do you any good. You could be the brightest person, but if you were weak and physically infirmed and everything else, and you're in the Sudan, you weren't going to survive. And you also had to be ready to do lots of things. And so you were encouraged to, you know all the classics, know math. Sports were incredibly important because they want you to be physically fit. And I was there at the tail end of that, because at the end of it, you know, there's no empire left. And so people, they kind of go, well, wait a minute. Well, we don't want a well-rounded people.
We want sheep.
No. What they wanted was specialists. And so, you know, who cares if Albert Einstein could play soccer? I mean, what the heck does that matter? You know, we want specialists. You know, you have to specialize in everything. And I can remember one of the college admissions persons saying, you know, you're too well-rounded. You're very good at athletics. You're good at this and so forth. I said, well, what's wrong with that? He says, oh, well, you know, that's just not what we're looking for anymore, buddy. Oh, okay.
I mean, no.
And so, you know, great. But, you know, but it is interesting, you know, Carl Abogas was one of the greatest mathematicians ever. But he flunked out of the court of Peter the Great because the guy could look, you can't talk, you can't run couture, you can't, you know, could you invent something with the gardening here or some do something practical, you know? Yeah, no.
Some kind of widget that's got a very practical single use.
Yeah, and he couldn't. So, I mean, I sort of understand, you know, these days it doesn't really matter. You know, everybody's a specialist. And so it's just a different, so when Hugh went through school, I mean, he was expected to be everything about everything. And even when you practice law in the law firms that he practiced in, they did not have you come out and specialize in one. You rotated through, you know, the commercial, then bankruptcy, maybe litigation if they had it, and some others. And they wanted you, so when you got through with it, if you were representing a client, you could, you know, do lots of things. You wouldn't kind of go, well, I don't have no knowledge about that, so, you know, I can't even lead you. No, they want you, but now they don't. Now you just go right, you know, you're a tax expert on a small section of the tax
code. I think that the education system in general, I think, suffers as a result of that. You say you're on the tail end, and mine was nowhere near the kind of depth that yours was. But I mean, I had your basic well-rounded, you know, I mean, you had every subject. Only by the time you got into the end of high school could you kind of, you could take like advanced biology. And, you know, now we're getting a taste of what Rev is learning through the remote learning. And it's kind of like, what? You know what I mean? And so I think that we're much worse off without having that kind of broader education.
The culture is much worse off now. Right. Now, you know, there's no, everybody remembers what Dickens wrote. No, they don't. Most people don't read Dickens, and they don't read Shakespeare, and they don't read anything else. They may read, you know, whatever the latest Black Lives Matter one or
that their teacher's making them read. Right. Yeah. Well, no, exactly. And that's why people can be, that's why you get these idiot mob decisions to, you know, tear down Abraham Lincoln because he was racist or something like that. So, hey, you know what? We have a few more minutes and we can kind of open it up if you want to talk about Hugh. We just wanted to do that to sort of, as we said, to sort of pay a tribute to.
I think Matt Dunn will be doing, Peter will probably be doing something
right
on Monday.
But too. In the meantime, too, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. If there's anything else you would want to say on this first day of 2021. And to our guys on Zoom, please feel free to just kind of unmute and turn on your cameras if you want to hear you. Because I think, and thank you so much to Sherry, but looking ahead to 2021, I think it's not so much shows like this as it is people like all of us are going to be important. People who, you know, I think we've learned that there is no point in being the silent majority. If you're the silent majority, they're going to shut down your business. They're going to make you wear a mask. They're going to lock you down. They're going to trample all over your rights. They're going to steal your election. So being silent hasn't gotten us anywhere. I think that so many of us realize that. I think to me, that gives me hope for 2021. And as I said, I think it's going to be one way or the other, the year of Trump. I think it's Trump's Republican Party. I think Trump.
There is no Republican Party apart from Trump. I mean, John Cornyn, John Thune, yeah. Mitch McConnell, they represent no one other than maybe a third of the Chamber of Commerce. And the hatred for them is intense. I think everything's been exposed.
Right.
Washington exposed. We've got a senile president who stole an election, who really had others steal it. He's afraid. If you may notice, he doesn't go anywhere with that Jill. It's like a nurse attendant. No. She's probably going to have to go to, yeah, you know, come on.
Well,
honey.
Thank God she's a doctor, Chuck.
That's right. Thank God she's a doctor and a brilliant one.
Hey, you see our friend Ben there. Hey, Ben, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you guys. I'm saddened to hear the passing of Hugh.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. I got into your show just a little late here today. I lost my own father this morning early.
Oh, so, I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. It was expected. You know, he was almost 93, so he'd lived a long life. Hugh is also one of those people, you know, that also lived a long life as well. He is much better educated than my own father, but mm-hmm. I understand that. And, you know, I loved hearing Barney. That was probably the most demure yes. Barney that I've ever heard. And so that was most respectful of him. Mm-hmm. He's one of those people that make your show. And that's why I think all of us, I like Barney, have lived on talk radio for years. And so I've listened
well, Barney,
to
Barney. You know, Barney is very bombastic, and that's his very nature. But he really is.
He is a heart of gold.
Yeah, he has a heart of gold.
I remember when he came to an event and he brought a baby present for Dale, who was our producer at the time. But Ben, because we just have a couple more minutes, I think you hit it on the head, though, which is what one of the things that gives me hope. Because what it is here, it's a community. And it's
it is.
And like anything, it's got its characters. And people.
And we all are those.
And characters are as much a part of the whole thing. And I think that, you know, Twitter can try to censor us, YouTube can pull the shows, but I think that sense of community, that's what they can't stop.
Right. And all the people that you hear coming on, Karen and Susan and all the rest of them that are out there. I see Leo on there as well, but
right.
Those are the people, it's a small community, as you say, but we all contribute just a little bit, if anything, and hopefully it enlightens other people. And that's what I find in, you know, listening to you guys, you're my friends, but you're always educating me and informing me on things that I did not know. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I appreciate the most.
All right. Well, listen,
so thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Sorry about your dad. Have a good year.
Okay.
So that'll do it for us. I want to remind everybody, you can catch our podcast at chuckandjulie.com. That's also a good way, you know, you can listen live there. You can listen on your phone. You can just click the little button and our SEO guy set that up. My daughter.
I think it's going to be a great year. We are going national with the help of
American Citizen Press.
And, you know, it's been a rugged year, really, for the country, for democracy, for businesses. But I think it's going to be a very interesting 2021.
Yes, it is.
So everybody take care.
We're all here for you.
We're all here for next year.
Your seatbelts. Thank you to the great guys at BBS Radio who make all of this possible. Happy New Year. We'll see you on Monday.
Bye-bye.